Hello, everyone. My name is Jessica.
This is Julianne, and this is Waitlist. This episode was produced with our sister podcast, Ticket to Mars.
Our theme is about living on Mars, but also about getting along better on planet Earth.
Spacecouples.com, in theory, being in a couple while in space decreases your stress.
The premise of spacecouples.com is that couples help create stable colonies in space. But that's only true if the couples remain together and harmonious.
But if the couple isn't getting along, then being in a couple could increase your stress.
Okay, so Doc has worked for NASA. Doc, are you there?
Hello. By registering at spacecouples.com, people can help in the collection of data on what best improves communication, cooperation, compromise, and creativity in space and on Earth.
Obviously, communication, cooperation, compromise, and creativity are mission critical for space travel.
Spacecouples.com is compiling a list of couples who want to go to space and do a Mars simulation. Space Singles is for those who aren't in a couple and either want to find a partner for space or go to space as a single person.
If you're living in space or on Mars, it can be very scary and stressful, but many days could be extremely boring. It's possible going to Mars with a loved one would provide emotional support.
We've been sent a few studies.
Yes, as we all know, on Earth you can get marital counseling, but for long space missions, there can be complications.
Disharmony within yourself and within a couple might very well be more likely to occur during a 9-month trip to Mars, on Mars, and 9 months back than on Earth.
The couple will be together 24/7 in a tiny, confined space.
There is nowhere to go.
It's tough when people are together 24/7 in a tiny space. But add the stress of possible death, punctuated by countless hours of incredible boredom.
Imagine your relationship is having trouble. Mission Control has arranged for you to talk to a marriage counselor on Earth. But each time you speak, it takes 7 minutes for your words to reach the counselor.
Then after the counselor responds, you have to wait 7 minutes to hear what the counselor said. That's a gap of at least 14 minutes.
The research suggests that when couples therapy has been done online, there is no delay. The research isn't very encouraging.
One research paper studied two of the leading online counseling programs. I quote, "Neither program significantly reduced the frequency of breakups by the 6-month follow-up. Again, both allowed real-time communication online, but were not able to significantly reduce the frequency of breakups by the time 6 months went by." If a couple or any of the crew is fighting in space, it's a disaster. It's mission critical to maintain harmony.
I read this research that boasts how in-person therapy has about 70% success. But that means 30% of couples exit therapy with as much or greater conflict than when they started.
And that 70% came from a sample of people living who were all on Earth without the stress of life in space.
On Earth, we can blow off steam by talking to friends or taking a walk.
Going out to dinner for a getaway weekend with your spouse.
Thus, it's reasonable to extrapolate that even if there were a marital counselor with you in space, that 70% success rate would drop dramatically.
To recap, in space, marital conflict seems much more likely to occur. Even if you have a marital counselor with you in space, there aren't wonderful odds of restoring harmony using existing methods.
That's why it's vital to explore new ways to help people, and couples in particular, to better communicate, cooperate, collaborate, and have more creativity and compassion.
Ryan did an episode on Waitlist with our sister podcast, Ticket to Mars.
Yes, the episode about movie nights on Mars.
Ryan, are you with us?
I'm delighted to join you for all this. It's such an important topic.
As you heard, we're very interested in this episode you worked on.
Yes, it was about the idea of using movies to build community cohesion on Mars. One night, the film may inspire the Mars colonists, but if someone isn't doing well, the film is a way for the community to show they're non-judgmental and supportive.
Movies about each colonist can create community, but for me, it's a metaphor, or reminder, to greet our own inner mental movies, or thoughts, with compassion.
Yes, being non-judgmental and supportive, calling each thought a friend. This can enhance growth and keep us out of the Cartman drama triangle, the KDT.
One of my roles here is to try to ensure the KDT is mentioned in every episode. Now, listeners can get a free PDF about it from both spacesingles.com and spacecouples.com, just by registering. I will just read a bit of the PDF now.
Thanks.
There's the assumption that the lack of physical and emotional intimacy in a relationship is a problem. It seems obvious that if you're feeling lonely or rejected, something has gone wrong. Now, while the lack of physical and emotional intimacy may cause unhappiness, that's a long way from assuming it's a problem. If we make that assumption, we are on Cartman's drama triangle, debating victimhood, seeing persecutors, and craving rescue.
I do think we mentioned Cartman's drama triangle in every episode, but we should explain the KDT for those unfamiliar.
Right. The KDT is usually applied interpersonally about interactions between people in a family or an organization, but it can also be applied to your own mind as thoughts can be mapped to one of the three roles.
The idea is that you are or aren't a victim. A thought or person is your persecutor, and then the need to be or find a rescuer.
The movie playing in your head is trying to cast these roles, but if we greet thoughts as friend, we prevent an urge to suppress, agree, or disagree with thoughts, so we don't rush to cast the roles of victim, persecutor, rescuer.
With the KDT, Cartman's drama triangle, there's a complaint over something we can't control or understand, so victimhood is proposed. If we fear that taking responsibility means being blamed, we may want to see ourselves as a victim.
Our TPM, thoughts per minute, then rises as part of us wants to feel empowered, so moves to suppress the victim thought. But the persecutor wants to identify the cause, so the rescuer can then offer the solution.
Now, the funny thing is, if we believe we're a victim, or actively deny we are a victim, we still get the persecutor and rescuer. We still raise the TPM.
The persecutor is what the victim blames for the suffering. The persecutor may attack, then attack the self. Or it may say that something external is to blame.
The point here is that the persecutor can be a thought you have about yourself, or it can be another person who isn't doing what you want, or isn't seeing you the way you want to be seen.
The persecutor's goal is to explain the cause, and this summons the rescuer to arrive with a solution.
The persecutor triggers the rescuer defender. The end result is you get a plan or daydream about escape or conquest.
Blame often comes when we wonder whether we could have found more love and safety had we, or someone, acted differently.
We can't be sure, but if we fear getting blamed, the persecutor comes to blame us or someone else. Then we rush to suppress, agree, or disagree, and that raises the TPM.
We get stressed and attached to having control. The KDT, Cartman's drama triangle, does not appear to be a sustainable way to function in space, and perhaps isn't sustainable for our species on Earth either.
The persecutor blames you. That's the thesis. The antithesis comes from the victim, or the rescuer, to argue. If we lack synthesis, if we lack humility, and beginner's mind, we are on the KDT and increase our TPM. Thoughts per minute.
This happens as the mind is debating which side is right.
We can't be sure which side is right, but we are racing to pick a side as the TPM is too high. But we can't even be sure we could have delivered a better future.
The persecutor is the expert mind. It's sure we could have had a better future. It has expert mind over who or what is to blame, and often it blames you.
The rescuer accepts the premise that we could have done better, but it offers a solution that it is sure will work.
Whether we suppress, agree, or disagree, the end result is certainty that control is how to be happier. Thus, we get stressed and attached to having control.
The Mars simulations are about fostering beginner's mind so we feel okay without having certainty.
If we have beginner's mind, we find peace as we don't rush to suppress, agree, or disagree with thoughts.
If we have beginner's mind, thoughts are free to complain about our past, present, future, and self-image, but we surrender to the moment without needing to pick a side.
To get to beginner's mind, we can use our imagination to find the words inside that would come from an ideal parent, one who is loving and wise. It brings a soothing message to the negative voices and may inspire us.
With beginner's mind, we don't rush to suppress, agree, or disagree with the persecutor nor rescuer, so we can move beyond needing proof of worth.
We're okay without having control. We're okay with not knowing whether we are or aren't a victim.
We also feel okay without the need to know who or what to blame. Thus, we find peace and presence. We can move forward with greater compassion, curiosity, communication, compromise, and wisdom.
The more we access the ideal parent in our imagination, the more likely we find synthesis and lower our thoughts per minute, the TPM. This also increases our level of compassion, curiosity, cooperation, communication, compromise, and wisdom.
We also stop demanding others act like our ideal parent, as we have that job handled.
It may seem that it would be hard to greet the persecutor's blame as friend. as it's antagonistic. That's why the ideal parent is useful. It has no urgency to debate or agree with the persecutor, and it has no urgency to agree or disagree with the rescuer's plan.
If we find beginner's mind and stay off the KDT, we may see something magical. We may see that this moment was unavoidable. We did our best. And what has unfolded was always expected. It had to happen. And it could be the key to our growth.
We know that it was unavoidable as it's here. What more proof do we need?
From this perspective, we don't need to wonder about an alternative course of events. The one we have, at least from the view of the present moment, is the only one that was possible.
I said magical as this idea of inevitability may or may not be true, but by opening to it, we can counteract the persecutor's expert mind. It's trying to berate us for not having done better, which relies upon being sure we could have.
Maybe in theory, we could have prevented some hardship or won some prize, but we can't be sure that's even possible, and that little bit of doubt can help us get to beginner's mind.
If we open up to the chance that our past had to unfold this way, when complaints come, claims of victimhood, we greet such things as friend with beginner's mind.
That means we can be more flexible about the future as the pressure we feel is reduced.
To relate this to couples, the persecutor points blame when a relationship has lost physical and emotional intimacy or is dull and routine. The persecutor is doing that to push for a solution. The rescuer offers ways to get back to how things were or entertain fantasies about escape. If this happens, we say, "Hello, friend," to the thought and don't rush to suppress, agree, nor disagree.
If you feel lonely and rejected, your persecutor thoughts tell you something or someone is to blame, and you may want to know.
But if you blame yourself, past actions, or others, you lose your level of cooperation, communication, compassion, and curiosity, and you get attached to control. In a crucial moment, that could lead to rash or unwise choices. During a mission, that could mean injury or death.
The bottom line, if you greet a thought as friend, new thoughts don't need to come to agree or disagree.
This lowers our TPM, our thoughts per minute. If we greet a thought as friend and lower our TPM, we can reduce desire, aversion, anxiety, and attachment. We're not suppressing thoughts to lower our TPM. We're seeing them, but not taking a position on them.
If we feel the need to take a position, to believe, disbelieve, agree, or disagree with a thought, it's no longer a friend. We elevate it or despise it.
This raises our TPM, thoughts per minute, because new thoughts are drawn into the KDT.
If we are in a mental debate around what we should or do believe, it's binary. Yes, no. Negative free child versus negative adaptive child. In a word, stressful.
The negative free child versus negative adaptive child is from transactional analysis. This psychological system says that we may see our partner as a negative controlling or negative nurturing parent, and they may see us the same way, or as the negative free child or negative adaptive child.
When someone is seen as being any of these, we can become their victim. They're our persecutor. And when the rescuer daydreams about escape, we rush to suppress, agree, or disagree.
Daydreams about escape are an issue in space. First, as it's distracting, and second, as it's not an option. There's nowhere to go.
The ideal parent, the one in our imagination, says, "Seems you did your best, yes?" And if we feel we didn't, we apologize to ourselves and recommit.
As you choose the words for the ideal parent, you hear a voice inside that is open to the view that you are doing your best. If we feel safe to admit when that's not the case, we can then apologize and seek to do better. Otherwise, we're in denial or blaming ourselves and others.
The key to doing our best is forgiving when we don't. We try to do our best out of love, surrender, a low TPM, stillness, and yin.
Rather than trying to do our best out of fear, rebellion, high TPM, and excess yang.
During the Mars simulation, as I understand it, the goal is to constantly label each thought friend, and then let it go with beginner's mind.
The KDT, Cartman's Drama Triangle, is the mechanism of the expert mind attachment. If you are on Earth, to escape the persecutor, you may seek rescue by finding a new partner or taking your spouse on vacation. But if you're in space, obviously it's not an option.
Of course, in space you can still get a divorce, but you'd still be living in a tiny spaceship or in a Mars habitat with that person.
Thus, harmony between people is mission critical. It's vital to find systems to improve communication, cooperation, compromise, and creativity. Hopefully, the Mars simulation can show that by lowering the TPM, thoughts per minute, people are present, peaceful, and leave the KDT to enter beginner's mind.
I know we've said it many different ways, but as this is so important, we should clearly state how to leave the KDT, how to lower your TPM.
Thoughts are like cars on a freeway. Too many, and you get stuck in traffic. If you let thoughts come and go, the traffic flows and the TPM is lower. But if you start sorting thoughts, the ones that you like from the ones that you don't, if you stop calling each one friend, you activate your expert mind and the KDT. The result is higher TPM.
Yes, if you rush to SAD, suppress, agree, or disagree with thoughts, you raise your TPM. But by greeting every thought as friend and giving it easy passage in and out of awareness, the result is a quieter mind and a lower TPM.
This brings more compassion, cooperation, curiosity, and communication.
We talk a lot about the mechanisms, but all you really need to know and remember is that if the mind makes any claim about how things are or how you are, just don't rush to suppress, agree, or disagree. Just call a friend.
If you forget to call the first thought a friend, you start the mental traffic. First, you get a thought that's critical of you or another person.
That's the persecutor just trying to explain why you are or aren't a victim.
Then traffic increases as it's followed by a thought offering a solution. The rescuer, which you then feel the need to suppress, agree, or disagree.
But if you keep calling thoughts friend, 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 you clear out the freeway. You end the cycle of desire and aversion, and you get off the KDT and reduce the TPM.
Marital harmony may be enhanced by not censoring our thoughts. Often we believe censoring thoughts helps relationships, but it's the opposite. That doesn't mean we have to say out loud everything that we're thinking, but if we can let thoughts flow in and out without needing to immediately react with suppression, agreement, or disagreement, we find peace and beginner's mind.
If you had an unhappy childhood, you may seek out people who are going to be more like an ideal parent, but that means looking externally for validation.
The healing comes from cultivating your own ideal parent voice inside. You become your own parent.
If the mind insists it's external, when the loved one isn't making us feel better, we may seek proof of worth outside.
A new relationship, a new job, even signing up to visit Mars.
That's why the Mars simulation offers a chance to practice the internal way of healing.
The goal of the study is to see if people can reduce reactivity and stress to thoughts by just calling them friend. What happens if you're not denying your thoughts and feelings, not denying the mental images? What happens if you can allow them without suppressing, agreeing, or disagreeing? Can that lower your TPM? If so, we can theoretically measure that in your level of homeostasis, subjective reports of harmony, and ability to compromise with others and think creatively. Perhaps we would also see a boost in memory and concentration.
This is so important, as if you are in a relationship and feeling bored, scared, rejected, and lonely, your TPM rises, so you seek rescue.
If you don't greet that as friend, then your mind wants physical and emotional intimacy with your partner or another person. This can destroy group cohesion.
The premise of spacecouples.com is that couples help create stable colonies in space. But that's only true if the couples remain together and harmonious. The KDT and the TPM seem to be key. But we need to prove that with data. That is why the plan is the world's largest Mars simulation. Data can be gathered and shared with NASA and others.
Because the mind wants to control the future to get you more love and safety, it's opposed to surrendering to the moment and admitting the KDT is unmanageable.
This desire for control, the need for more love and safety, gets exacerbated when we feel like a victim due to a lack of control and believe control would solve our problems. But we also play at not having control when we want to justify why we are a victim. We want to say it's not our fault and suppress the persecutor's claims we're to blame. This raised our TPM.
When that happens, the only option that seems left is the rescuer. We rush to agree or disagree with its solutions and engage binary thinking. If we agree with the rescue plan, we get attached to the results. If we disagree, we're back to being a victim and labeling someone or something as the persecutor.
The key to surrendering control is to greet even the desire for control as friend. As we do not rush to suppress, agree, or disagree, we aren't affirming that control is a priority. but we're not denying or suppressing either.
If we forget to call thoughts our friend, we identify as the author of them. Thoughts tell us we can, can't, must, or must not. Without saying friend, we then believe we are the one who agrees or disagrees. We thus take ownership of the thought and get defensive about it.
When we feel we're faced with a binary, save or end a relationship, have sex or don't have sex, have children or don't have children, take the job or quit the job, we want control. If we don't see our way to rescue through the choice, we feel like the victim and blame someone else or feel persecuted by thoughts that blame us.
The result is we go into the KDT, Cartman's drama triangle, as we want control to make the binary choice that will provide rescue and silence the inner and outer critics.
If we believe we need control, we don't label the thoughts as friends, and we get the KDT. The triangle is an attempt to make meaning, even if it's one that's very limiting, exhausting, and brings attachment and stress.
The end of the KDT cycle is the rescuer. We get to imagine the means of our salvation. This is often having a daydream or fantasy. Instead of rushing to suppress, agree, or disagree, we call it friend.
If we rush to suppress, agree, or disagree, this can lead to unwise decisions. In space, we know our options are limited and mistakes are hazardous. So the body stores the stress, which can manifest physically, mentally, and emotionally, which jeopardizes the mission and survival.
For couples on Earth, when the other person is seen as a persecutor, you can get a rescue fantasy. If you hate your job, you can get a fantasy about quitting. But if you are a few months into the trip to Mars, you know there won't be any rescue for a very long time.
So, we greet all thoughts as friend, and with beginner's mind, there's no rush to suppress, agree, or disagree.
If you feel okay with not rushing to decide, there's no pressure to remove thoughts of the victim and persecutor. Thus, you don't trigger rescuer thoughts to rush in and tell you what you must do. And if they come, you aren't rushing to suppress, agree, or disagree with them. Thus, TPM and stress lower. You get more cooperation, communication, compassion, and creativity.
The rescuer is less likely to come to, well, rescue you, if you say, hello friend, to every thought about victimhood. As thoughts say how you are or aren't to blame, you don't take the bait.
During the Mars simulation, the practice is to continuously say, hello friend, to each thought.
On Earth, and in space, we may fear thoughts and people who seem poised to blame us for falling short. But when we're under stress, like living in space, these concerns increase. That's why the main practice is so simple. Just say hello, friend, to each thought.
The data collected in the Mars simulation will hopefully demonstrate that simply by calling each thought friend, not rushing to suppress, agree, or disagree with the KDT, people can lower their thoughts per minute, the TPM.
If we are on the KDT and our TPM is high, there's a good chance thoughts will be trying to predict and control. That can't be sustained 24/7 for weeks at a time without a physical, mental, and emotional price to pay.
If our complaints aren't greeted as friend, they cast us as the victim, and so we seek to identify who is the persecutor or accept the blame. The goal is telling us why we are or aren't a victim.
Then the rescuer comes telling us how we can get control and turn it around. But then, if the plan works, we're now attached to having control, which raises the TPM and stress level.
When your TPM is high and you're on the KDT, there are many thoughts coming from the persecutor and rescuer. To find peace, we try to suppress, agree, or disagree. But peace comes by not rushing to suppress, agree, or disagree. It comes from greeting each thought as a friend.
If we don't greet thoughts as friends, we get the stress of having to suppress, agree, or disagree with so many thoughts. This could, in theory, lead to physical issues like an ulcer, headaches, rashes, back pain, etc. It definitely decreases the ability to communicate, cooperate, compromise, and be creative.
This is why the Mars simulation in this podcast keeps returning to Cartman's drama triangle, the KDT.
When we're in a couple, we may have increased or decreased anxiety about how others see us and feel about us. This drives the desire to judge, predict, and get control. The KDT can be seen as our friend, as it is trying to help us get what we want, but it's misguided. The thinking is binary and linked to control. In space, as you can't get what you want much of the time, and there's very little you can control, binary thinking can be crushing.
When you're in space or on Mars, other than a walk in your spacesuit, it's not really possible to escape. The Mars simulation is about building a habit of greeting all thoughts as friend, so you stay off the KDT and have less need to dream about rescue, and less urge to blame yourself and others for mistakes.
This is not about denying thoughts. This is not about suppressing. It's about greeting thoughts as friend with the perspective of beginner's mind so that we don't know if they are right or wrong and don't need to immediately know.
We slow down the rush to judge and get control in order to invite wisdom.
So we don't suppress claims of victimhood. We don't agree or disagree with them. We embrace beginner's mind.
Each time thoughts point blame, deny blame, or offer plans for escape and conquest, we just say, "Hello, friend."
When we call a thought our friend, we are not agreeing or disagreeing with it.
When you are sure you can predict what will and should happen and how you will feel about it when it does, that's an illusion. We have no idea what will happen. We can't say that space agencies will embrace the data collected in the Mars simulations. Heck, we can't even say whether civilization will or won't last another 20 years.
Okay, maybe the question of the end of civilization is a perfect stopping point for this episode. Doc, we greatly appreciate you being here with us. Having someone who actually did research for NASA be part of this conversation, well, it has really been fantastic.
We also want to thank SpaceCouples.com and SpaceSingles.com, as well as our sister podcast, Podcast on Mars, Ticket to Mars.
Let's conclude with a meditation. When you inhale, all that matters is giving gentle attention to that in-breath. Then, as you hold the breath inside, you let that idea go. And now, all that matters is giving gentle attention to the out-breath.
Inhale. Only the in-breath. Hold it. As you exhale, only the out-breath. Inhale. Only the in-breath. Hold it. As you exhale, only the out-breath. Inhale. Only this breath. Hold it. Exhale. Only this breath. Inhale. Only this breath. Hold it. Exhale. Only this breath. Inhale, only this breath. Hold it. Exhale, focusing on the out breath.
Inhale. Take what you are given. Exhale. Give back what you have taken. Inhale. Take what you are given. Exhale. Give back what you have taken. Inhale. Take what you are given. Exhale. Give back what you have taken.
Thanks again, Jordan.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.